Let us pray. A gracious and most wonderful God, the originator of every existence, and without whom nothing can be, Father everlasting, we thank you for every opportunity you give us in life. We are so grateful that you graciously called us together to partake in this divine worship. Guide us through the power of your Holy Spirit and teach us your word that will enable us to live the life you expect us and fulfill the mission entrusted into our hands on this earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I begin by thanking God for bringing us together to participate in today's divine worship. I also thank God for the Christian love that is unmatched, which we all share in this place of worship. Of course, I will never stop thanking the pastors, elders, and members of Life Quick Church and Grace Quick Church for selflessly accommodating us in this place of worship, treating us as brothers and sisters of the same Father in heaven, and enabling us to continue worshiping in this building, as I will never ever cease to mention every time I come in here. I see Elder Frank. I remember the time he generously opened his hands in 2012 to welcome us and introduce us to the elders of Life Faith Church, who ended up having us here. So we're so thankful for that, and we're thankful to Pastor Joshua for his great shepherding of the flock and the great ministry he has and the great leadership he provides. We're so thankful to everybody, and may the Almighty God continue to guide and lead us until we meet him face to face and remain in his presence for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. So the theme for our reflection today is, one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession. One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession. And our Bible passage for this is from Luke chapter 12, 13 to 21. Luke 12, 13 to 21. It says, one of the multitude said to Jesus, "Teacher, my brother, divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger walls, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry.' Then God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So that is where the thing comes. One's life does not consist in the abundance of possession. And the verse we are picking up from this is verse 15 that says, "And Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession." Our Lord Jesus Christ makes it clear that the life we live does not depend on material possessions. It's not what we have that constitute our life or depend on what our life will materialize. Before Jesus began his earthly ministry, he went to River Jordan, where he was baptized by John the Baptist. He knew his God. He allowed John to baptize him. There was no pride in him, no arrogance, no self-importance. He rather humbled himself and condescended to allow an ordinary person like John to baptize him. From there, he went to the wilderness, where he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, as the Bible tells us. At the end of his fasting, he was hungry. The devil came to tempt him, telling him, "If you are the Son of God," that's the main question, "if you are the Son of God." I don't want to go into the rest of the story, but Jesus rebuffed him right away, answering, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So the answer that Jesus gave here aligns with what he said to the man who spoke from the crowd, "Teacher, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me." And he said to them, "Take heed, beware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession." And the other one, he says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." That is where Jesus' emphasis is. Not on possession, not on bread, not on any material thing. Everything about us depends on God. It is God that makes us to sleep and to wake up. Not our possession, not our power, not our position, not what we can do or what we cannot do. It is just God that keeps us going. Jesus is consistent in reminding us of and emphasizing that my life and your life do not depend on the abundance of our possessions. So it doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. That is not what your life depends on. Your life depends on God. Jesus demonstrated this not just by word, but by himself as a person. As God, he left his throne in heaven, the highest throne you can ever imagine, and came down to the earth, humbled himself, came to the earth he created, and to the people he created and gives life. He came to them. One, he was not born in the best hospital or the biggest hospital, rather in a borrowed manger, not even their own, borrowed one. It doesn't belong to Joseph or Mary or any relative. They have to borrow a manger. He lived in a borrowed house, in a first house. He had no mansion on earth. He ate food brought by people. When he wanted to feed the crowd, they borrowed it from a child. They borrowed and gave it to the crowd. And here reminds me, anything you put in the hand of God is always multiplied, because he's the maker of everything. Put anything in the hand of God, he will multiply it. And then, when he was asked to pay tax, he didn't even have the money. He told Peter, go to the lake, catch a fish, open it and get money and pay. So he didn't even have money of his own. And he was nailed not on his own cross, a cross belonging to the Romans, coming from the Romans. That's where he was nailed after surrendering his life. And then he was buried in a borrowed grave, not his own. So this is practical demonstration of what he says. Our life does not depend on the abundance of our possession. Despite all this, Jesus' name is the greatest name above all names. It's the name that has lingered for eternity and will continue. So, my life, your life does not depend on any material possession. We do not live by food alone, or by material wealth, or by what we have. We live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We live by God's decision. Our life is through God's gift. So, you that pursue everything of God, you that pursue holiness, you that pursue godliness, you that seek to please God, you that seek to spread the word of God through your giving, through your presence, through your effort, through everything you are doing, it may seem as if you are not doing much, but God acknowledges it. I will tell you, by God's grace, you are on the right path. Don't deviate, don't look back. Don't allow any distraction. Continue. That is the right path to go. Pursue godliness. Pursue holiness. Pursue everything that will make you to spread the kingdom of God on earth. That is what God expects of us, not materialism. There are people whose lives are made up of pursuit of materialism, pursuit of power, pursuit of everything. These things are good because Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone. But what is mostly important is pursuit of godliness and submission to God, commitment to the work of God. That is what matters most. So knowing fully well that we don't have permanent home here on earth, and that our stay on earth is so short-lived, and we could be called home at any time, why do we labor furiously, storing up treasures for ourselves on earth that not reach toward God? When it comes to the earth, we are very rich. When it comes to God, we are very poor. So, why all we gain after that? Acquiring wealth is not a bad thing, because you can use it to build a big church or do many things or do missionary work. But you use that wealth to serve God. Whatever you have, not just material wealth, but even the talents you have, what you can do, you use it to serve God. You commit everything you have to the work of God. God gave everything to you for the purpose of serving him. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, Jesus says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeit his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" Your soul is the most important thing. When Rockefeller died in New York, journalists asked his financial person, "How much wealth did he leave behind?" He told them he left everything. He left everything. If God calls us home today, we are going to leave everything. We are not taking anything out. Even we cannot even take our body, because this body will be dumped on the ground, or will be discarded. So why spending, killing ourselves, nurturing what we wrought? Or why killing ourselves for something we are not going to carry with us at the expense of something that is permanent? Notice that in Luke 12:14, Jesus refused to be a judge and a divider between the man and his brother. He said, "Tell my brother to give me my own share." Possibly, Jesus refused because that is not where the emphasis of life should be, because those things are not permanent. That's not where Jesus' ministry is, to dividing property for men, people on earth. So Jesus asked a man, "Who made me a judge and a divider between you and your brother?" So, what is your life marked with or known for? What is your life on earth known for? In verse 15, then, Jesus once, "Take heed and beware of all covetousness." Take heed and beware of all covetousness. Jesus wants us and all his followers to pay attention and avoid acts of greediness, materialism, acquisitiveness, and avariciousness that have captured the world today. Excessive and godless pursuits of these turn us away from God. When we pursue things, pursue the world, and don't give much attention to things of God, it takes us away from God. We need to rather lay up treasure in heaven so that we can be rich toward God. Use whatever God has given you today to serve God's peoples. Use the life that God has given you to serve God. Use any material thing God has given to you to serve God. That is how to lay treasure in heaven. So Jesus says in Matthew 6:19-21, "Do not lay up treasure for yourself on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So those who are cultivating in God's vineyard will reap from God's vineyard. When you are laying your treasure in things of God, putting your life in things of God, putting your money in things of God, you will never lack in heaven. The man in the parable that Jesus told in Luke 12:17-19 has acquired a lot of earthly wealth. And Jesus says, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger walls. And there I will store up all my grain and my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, you have had ample goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry. That's what he was telling himself. His concerns are about himself, expansion of his barns, no care for God's people, nothing to the church, nothing for God, nothing to the poor and the less privileged, but just himself, his soul, and possibly his family, if he cares. God was displeased with this man, and therefore Jesus says that God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? In verse 20, how do you relate to earthly treasure and materialism generally? How do you support your church and this church and missionary work? How do you support your family? How do you support the less privileged around you? Are you storing your treasure in heaven or just on earth? One day, you will leave every material position on earth and go. What will God say about you? Don't say Jesus did not warn us about this. Jesus mentioned it ahead of time. And we know we're leaving everything to go. And when it is still under your control, what are you using them to do? In Deuteronomy 8:17-18, the Bible says, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealthy, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers. It is this day, as it is this day. We need to constantly seek the things of God, things from above, as we do today. For in Colossians chapter 3, 1-4, it says, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hid in Christ, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then also you will appear with him in glory. So, where does our pleasure in this world lie? In food, in money, house, vehicle, dresses? Will we leave these things? Will we leave these things one day? But after that, where will we be? Where will we spend eternity? St. Paul in Philippians 3:7-8 says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse, in order that I may gain Christ. So for those who have remained obedient to God and absolutely committed to the work of God. Despite every setback in life, thank God. Rejoice, for your reward is great in heaven. You are storing treasure for yourself in heaven for every work of God you are doing. Do not be discouraged by any circumstances in life. Let nothing make you have one step back in the work of God and the service you are rendering to God. God knows you are doing it, and God knows all the setbacks you have. Just keep on working until the final moment of life. So we must stand firm with Jesus in absolute obedience and commitment to his work, so that we can spend eternity with him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be unequivocally obedient to you by enabling us to respond positively to your warning of not putting material things and pleasures of this life above the work you called us to do. Inspire us, O Lord, to touch the world around us with your love and to express our unequivocal commitment to you, your word, and live our life in absolute submission to our holy Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.